This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa! Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked! Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
All right, 2 minutes away from quitting time. Another work week in the books. Another week closer to the NFL draft. And we'll know what this Falcon team's going to look like, baby.
Yeah, man.
Joe's flying today, man.
The month is flying, Mike. I'm like, it's almost April.
Yeah, I'm also on drugs, too, with all the pollen and stuff, so it doesn't kind of mood manage. But for you kids, again, by prescription. You get a doctor.
Okay. Back on the drugs.
No, I'm just because I get all snotty with the pollen, so I'm on stuff, and it makes me feel all right. Anyway, hey, man, let's start the show in this hour by starting off everybody on the same page with a big hearty
Hey, man.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, Man Ale, by the way, it's the perfect beverage to watch March Madness. Make sure you got your Dukes and Bell Hey, Man Ale. We really appreciate everybody posting the photos. A buddy of mine, Mitch White, who's a professional photographer, and I went to FSU. He was down under for the Australian Grand Prix. I posted some pictures last night. He had an unbelievable shot. Had a Hey Man Ale right there by the Sydney Opera House down in Australia.
That's pretty good right there, man.
So take our beer on the road and take pictures with it, like the traveling gnome. We'll post all those pictures at the company website as well. Hey, man, the news about the Falcons, and for guys that are just tuning in, we'll give you in the big story coming up at 5:20, all the latest on March Madness. A couple of major upsets. One was brewing, and then it's not, and that's Virginia. They've actually got back in control against Cardinal.
Yeah.
It was fun, though, for a minute.
It was fun for a little bit. It really was fun.
Hey, man, Randy Mack is in for Carl Dukes, and we'll talk about Austin Hooper and his expanded role, perhaps, in a dirt cutter offense. I want to get your take on that. But the story today that had a lot of people going, and I don't know if there's anything behind it, as Squid kind of intimated earlier, because it's coming from Bleacher Report, but a report about the money. And this could have come from the Falcons. This could have come from the agent. The one thing, Randy, which I don't think people truly appreciate here in Atlanta, is the negotiating over Julio, Matt, Grady, Vic is all done by the same agency.
Yeah.
It's all guys repping CAA. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it'd be a good thing because you're familiar with them and everything. And, you know, contract negotiations are tricky. I mean, especially
but
when.
But one shouldn't have to do with what, the other.
No. That's less unprofessional as an agent if you go with that angle. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't do that. You try and get the most money you can for that client right there. You don't have to, and not worried about the other one. We knew this is going to happen eventually, right? I mean, they promised him he would not do this thing, and now he wants to be the highest paid receiver in ball, which I think he should be.
Right.
And once he gets done, you'll free up some stuff for to be able to maybe go towards Grady or maybe go get some more depth guys on the defensive side of football.
Yeah.
But who's going to have to pay with their job for Julio to get this extension?
And just about the time we get to maybe year two of Julio, maybe even next year, because this year he'll go into camp with his new deal if this deal gets cut. But maybe as soon as next year, Julio will move that money forward the way Matt did.
Oh, he's going to. They'll approach him because you got to sign Deion and you got to sign Grady.
And that's cool, but eventually, unless the cap space just keeps going up.
Which it will.
Unless, of course, you get to that. That's why when guys say, Mike, why do you always bring up 2021? Because that's when we'll be in the heart of Keanu and Debo and all these guys' deals. But what if they put a cap on the cap? What if the salary cap stops growing?
I'm going to tell you something, Mike. Where Dan is in his situation as far as his job, he ain't got time to worry about 2021. All right, you know what I'm saying? He really mm-hmm. doesn't. We'll figure it out. If we get past this year, which I am wholeheartedly believing that this Falcons team is talented enough to make that run.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't, he might be looking for another job. So Dan ain't got time to worry about that right now.
Right. He's got to get it going right now. He's put his, as we say it a million times, his head on the chopping block because he's made big pronouncements how he's going to get more out of Vic Beasley. We'll see how that works. The Falcon Report brought to you by our buddies at Domino's, guys. Right now through Sunday night, great time to watch all sporting events everything going. I believe the Braves are on TV tonight. Is that right? Get a Domino's 50% off all your favorite pizzas. There are some limitations on that one, so get all the details at Domino's.com. But all your favorite pizzas, 50% off. The Falcons and Julio. Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report telling Randy that the deal for Julio on this bump, this extension that was promised, $20 million a year over four or five. Got to be four, right?
Yeah.
And then he would get anywhere from $50 million to $60 million in new guarantees. So if you look at it, Odell Beckham's current five-year, $90 million. You know, Antonio Brown obviously getting a bump from the Raiders. Does that work for you? I mean, we knew that Julio wants to be the man, so this put him up there in the rarefied air 1-2.
It don't matter if it worked for me. It worked for Julio. he the one got to get the loot. But, I mean, it makes sense for him to be the highest-paid guy. And then you got all these other receivers that are – you know, that are not on his level, talking about some, you're not getting nowhere near what he's getting. I know Michael Thomas has had great career and great, he ain't getting what Julio got. Amari Cooper ain't getting what Julio's about to get. I mean, that ain't going to happen. You're not that good. Or you might catch a lot of passes, but you ain't that good.
Right. So Julio, and then he'll get his deal as promised. We knew that was going down. They don't have to franchise tag, but they get exclusivity, as you guys know, with Grady Jarrett. You think, I asked you this yesterday, but you think Grady's deal is in place by camp or by season start?
No, I think Grady's going to play in the franchise.
Oh.
Yeah, I do.
That sucks.
Yeah, I think he does.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Because you can also make, a lot of money up front, but you could also manipulate the numbers there to help you when you have to do the Keanu Neal and the Debo deal.
You ain't got to worry about Keanu right now. I wouldn't worry about
you
Keanu.
You have the fifth-year option.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about Keanu.
Debo's
right now.
Next.
Yes, I got to take care of him. I've got to take care of Deion Jones. And if you put, like, a value on the two players, who would you want more, Grady or Deion?
Ooh, Grady's a friend of ours, but
I gotta take Deion.
All right, nobody listen. Hey guys, turn your radios off.
Deion.
Yeah,
Debo. Debo just makes plays sideline to sideline. You know, he's not the prototypical Ray Lewis middle linebacker. He's a linebacker that can do everything, basically.
Right.
Can drop back in coverage, can get the turnovers for you. He's a leader in that locker room. I mean, it's just tough. Well, you boxed yourself into this corner because you couldn't get Grady a deal last year.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that they'll be better without Grady. No. You need Grady because you want Grady. Because you've developed him into being one of the better D tackles in all
the
ball.
But you're going to overpay because every year the market resets.
Yeah, it always resets. And that's why it should have been taken care of last year. And good for Grady for betting on himself. And they probably did offer him some last year. It's probably some you know what. And I'm sure he's like, no, I'm good. I'm going to bet on myself. And good for him because he's about to get his money. But it's all – everybody always want to talk about the yearly average of NFL contracts so daggone overrated. How much is guaranteed? How much?
Right.
And I'm talking about – fully guaranteed at signing. How much? That's the most important thing.
So when that deal gets done, and right now, as Randy says, probably most likely going to be the franchise tag applied to Grady. Vic, as you know, they picked up the fifth-year option. He's making $12.8 million, whatever he gives you.
And then that'll be $12.8 that comes off your books next year. Okay?
Right. So. Now, the ultimate irony is Vic gets double-digit sacks. I get a tattoo of a 44 jersey on my butt, and then he skates off to go play for the Rams the following year. You know, because that's the ultimate irony, that you had one year where he was money, the year we scored all those points. We always point out Chuck Smith
point. Always played from behind.
And so
always played from the front, I'm sorry.
Yeah. He gives the edge to the defense, obviously, because teams are one-dimensional. They can't run the ball. Look, I'll be happy to get that stupid tattoo and lose the bet. I just don't think it's going to happen. You don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
And I'd like to see, Dan, look.
I hope it happens.
If Dan can do it, but we've said this a million times. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you get more out of him, then why the hell weren't you working with him last year?
Exactly. Especially if you're getting more out of him and you're not winning. It's like, oh, this team is so good. They got to show up a couple spots, and you got to expect guys who have underachieved to play better.
The Julio deal, if it goes down over the weekend, if these numbers are close, we'll find out. One thing for certain, he's getting his deal, just a matter of when.
Yeah,
but you're still going to have to make a few more decisions and move some money around. You've got to be able to handle your draft class.
Yeah, you got to sign the draft class, and it'll be because you're looking at the only person with a high enough number that could be expendable is Mohamed Sanu. But I don't think they want to get Mohamed Sanu. I don't want them to get rid of Mohamed Sanu.
Mm.
So where can you save some money from?
Don't tell me Sanu. Don't tell me.
I can't think of that. But you don't want to lose Sanu. I don't want the Falcons to lose Mohamed Sanu.
I mean, we talked about it yesterday, and a lot of people. And look, it's good if you're Justin Hardy's out there. Listen, you got a lot of Falcon fans that love you and are happy to have you back. Randy and I just don't know what you do. You know, I mean, I can get another guy to go do what he does.
I mean, he's all American
and cheaper.
He's all American, running bubble routes and slip screens. But he was great.
Kenyon Barner is your kick returner this year. You know, nobody, you get nothing on the kickoffs anymore. We know that, but our punt, It was 24th. I found the number yesterday. 24th. We're tied for in the NFL. 24th worst as far as punt return yardage. So, I mean, we just don't get anything out of it. And look, and half the time last year, and sometimes it's just the way the cookie crumbles, but, man, how many times are we starting inside our own five?
A lot of times because your heels are at 10. But sometimes, you know, and I've been a part of this where coach comes on the field and say, hey, fair catch it, no matter what. We want to put the ball in our offensive hand. Hmm. So, I mean, when you have that kind of explosive offense, you don't want to take a risk. And he is one of the best fair catches I've ever seen. So
let's talk about catching passes in the red zone. Last year, he had numbers top 10 item in fantasy leagues. So Austin Hooper definitely helped me win some big loot. He was a little snarky with the midday show at the Super Bowl talking about how, yeah, some of you guys doubted me. All right, well, do it again, Austin.
Exactly. I mean, you paint yourself in the corner.
Right.
I mean, if you need the motivation of somebody to say something bad about you to want to be great, then you don't need to play, period.
So what's he going to do in a dirt cutter offense?
I don't know. I mean, you saw what happened. Now, what happens when Free comes back? And if Free's taking away some targets because, you know.
Hopefully he's running in 100-yard games.
That thing. And when you look at, you know, bringing back Paulson, signing Luke, what they've done is they've taken the responsibility of Hooper being at the point of attack on the run play.
Right.
And a lot of times when they went to the Super Bowl that year, Mike, Atlanta ran a lot of 13 personnel. And what that was three tight ends, the one wide receiver, the one running back. And that gave a lot of teams a lot of problems. You saw Denver gave them problems. Seattle gave them problems. Different times throughout the year when they were able to run those kind of sets, it gave them problems. So I think he'll be fine. I mean, Dirk Cutter, it's a friendly offense for tight ends.
Right.
But it's only friendly if you make the play. Because I never met Dirk Cutter, but to me it seems like if you don't do it right, he ain't going to give you the ball.
That's true about Dirk Cutter. You're right about that.
You know, and then you can also – I think they're going to – They're thinking
only
about
Tony Gonzalez catching the ball makes it a little easier.
Exactly. And they're thinking about, you know, moving Luke Stock and letting him play a little bit more fullback. So,
okay.
I mean.
So, H-back tight.
H-back type guys.
Okay. Look, we want to get short yardage. We've added 700 pounds of man meat at the guard position next to Alex Mack. And you got a big, burly tight end to Randy's point who can get you that, you know, eye formation and go get some short yardage, brother.
Hey, man. Being a tight end, getting that eye formation, that ain't fun. I'm just going to tell you.
Right. But you could do it. You can
I've done it. Yeah. I've done it, but it ain't fun.
Falcon Report is brought to you by Domino's, guys. Right now, half off all your favorite pizzas. Go to Domino's.com. It's a limited time offer. Goes to the end of this week and end of Sunday night. The other thing, and something that D. Orlando Ledbetter brought up in the AJC, talking about Dimitroff and the possibility for trading down. If they really like DeAndre Baker, and everyone's trying to read between the lines about what Dimitroff and Quinn were talking about at George's Pro Day, but if you want to go get, let's just say for argument's sake, a defensive back, there's enough defensive tackles where you could get a quality one if you moved up in the second round or stood pat. How about this? He's only gone up. He's never gone down. He went up to get moved back in the first round to get Sam Baker back in 2008. Of course, the famous one is Julio in 2011. He moved up a bunch of spots, made a trade with Les Snead, then the St. Louis Rams to go get Desmond Trufant. So Thomas has always made the moves to go up. What about trading down? Is that something you might be interested in? And picking up a second rounder?
Yeah, why not? Because the defensive line depth, its class is one of the best I've ever seen, and is deep. And unless, you know, a blue chipper is there that you can get, why not move back and get some extra picks? Because you got so many holes to fill. And because I think the most important and the most need, the most important position a need for the Falcons is defensive tackle, in my opinion. So right. If you can get one of those guys and get another pick, why not? You know, maybe somebody trades up if those quarterbacks start falling and sitting there. You know, right? If Miami doesn't pick a quarterback right there at 13, do you go up to 14 and get a quarterback of your team?
The defensive tackles, it's a deep class for that. There's also, I think, three things: defensive tackle, defensive end, and corner. What I think the three. That's
you
those
need
the
that because
they'll never draft offensive line in the first round.
No.
And they'll probably never do it in the second round.
But you got to find somebody to replace Alex Mack, or if something happens to him, I mean, who's going to be the backup center?
Well, one of the things would help mitigate all these salaries you got to pay off is by getting a starting offensive lineman from college who you have salary control over for 4 or 5 years, and then you don't have to worry about slapping new free agents every year for like $15 and $20 million deals,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, it sounds so good, don't it, Mike?
You gotta,
sounds
well,
really
you
good.
You know what? Somebody at the Falcons, call somebody from the Colts because they did it.
Yeah, I mean, but – The Colts went and got them a bona fide potential Hall of Fame player at a position of need. And then you went and got a guy who I wanted the Falcons draft, you know, Brandon Smith, the kid out of Auburn.
Right.
I mean, they wouldn't upgrade it right there. And you see what's going on because they know. You see that guy that wears number 12? That's our franchise right there. You might want to protect him. And if we protect him, we might be all right.
Well, that's just it. When you think about the guaranteed portion of the contract, over $160 million potentially in Julio and Matt. What does it matter if you can't give them out of pocket?
Means nothing, Mike. And I always mess with you and pick at you and all the time. But you're absolutely correct when you were talking about all that money that we have invested in these guys, we don't score enough points. You're absolutely correct.
I'm not even going to talk about the O for the first 7 weeks of the season.
Well, you don't need to because exactly. Just look at the end of the end results.
Right.
Look at the end results.
It was good. And Calvin Ridley got the ball early. He's Randy Mack in for Carl
Dukes
today.
See what happens when that wall came and got him.
Hey, man, we got plenty of stuff to dive into. Virginia, it was ugly early, and people in media like Randy and I even texted Carl and I said, look at this. No one can take the shot. Well, Virginia got it back in order, but there are some upsets today and day two of March Madness first round. We'll get you up to speed with the big story Mike Conti's got in case you missed it. Plenty of stuff, man, right here on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell with Randy Mack filling in today. It's another beautiful day, man. Look at this. Spring is springing. A little chilly out there, a little nippy. Hopefully a little warmer this weekend, buddy, if you guys want to play some golf.
Yeah, it got a little bite in the air, but it's not that bad. It's just a nice sweatshirt. At least we ain't got to wear hat and gloves. You know what I'm saying? But
got that right. Hey, a couple of things. If you're looking for some United love, since there's no action other than some international play, as a PT will go up against Joseph, Venezuela going to take an Argentina. But the guy's going to be up at Carriage Kia in Woodstock. Mike Conti's going to be up there along with Jason Longshore. Michael Parkhurst's going to be there and Big Red Jeff Lorenowitz. You get an autograph to Michael Parkhurst's jersey. They'll be giving that away and all sorts of other cool stuff. So get your United fix noon to 2. That's tomorrow, guys. Meet and greet with Parky and with Jeff Lorenowitz. We're just talking about, there's an article from The Guardian. It was kind of a breakdown. It was about a week old, but it's a breakdown of what is and isn't working with the United, at least from a foreigner's set of eyeballs, about Pity Martinez and Frank DeBoer's system. So it's kind of interesting.
What's it talking about, Mike?
Well, some round square pegs in a round hole. I always get it backwards. Like
Willy Wonka. Get it wrong.
Square pegs in a round hole. Yeah.
And you always get it wrong, too. That's the thing about it.
There's a couple of things I've always screwed up. I call Mike Trout Steve Trout because I had like extras of his baseball card.
Okay, that happens. That happens.
I do the round peg. You know, we could do that. What's your malaprop for the game winner tonight? What's yours, by the way?
I have so many of them, so I prefer not to go into that.
All right, man. We always, like, math trips. Well, you guys, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, math trips me up.
Math
Carl can't roll his R's.
A defect.
Squidbilly can't do any kind of, he cannot pronounce any kind of word that isn't America. From America.
It's like French names.
And he has to say every letter, syllable.
We did our Formula One podcast. Week two is up after we broke down the Australian Grand Prix, looking ahead to Bahrain. But Squidbilly's gotten better because initially it's like, yeah, man, that, Nico Hülkenberg driving that Renault. He's getting better on that stuff. He's got it now. Renault. Say Renault one more time.
Renault.
Hey.
There you go.
LeClaire.
There you go.
Look at that.
LeClaire.
Nice.
Right.
By the way, Mike didn't say, we got the name.
Oh, yeah, Formula 101. After 2 weeks, corporate said we can call it Formula 101.
I thought that's what it was going to be called.
Yeah, well, you know, because they got all these lawyers in Intercom. We had to make sure that somebody else didn't have one. And there was like a driving school in Pennsylvania, which apparently is out of business, so we can use. Now it's ours, so now you can't have it. It's Formula 101 podcast.
Sweet.
So because we're trying to explain it for guys that love it, like me, and guys like Squid who are just learning and finding they really dig Formula 1 as well. So trying to make it all inclusive for everybody.
All right.
Hey, man, March Madness, that is the big story today, our Strong Arm Story of the Day.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
Was it wrong that we really, really, really wanted to see Virginia lose again to a 16th seed?
No, it was not really, really wrong. And it would not have been really, really wrong if Tennessee lost the games were going on at the same time. But the better team won. Virginia flexed its muscle. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, it was a little bit too much for them. But, wow. We said this, Mike, before the game started. We said, what if they get down by 12 points real quick? And they just couldn't find a way to get stops. But, hey, they got the stops. They're moving on. But I'll see how much further they can go.
Well, Gardner Webb led Virginia 36-30 at halftime. And then, as Randy said, Virginia, they cranked it up. So they did some outside jumpers. The guy who looks like Wesley Snipes in Demolition Man.
Yeah.
What's that character's name?
Simon Phoenix.
Simon Phoenix.
Yeah, Simon Phoenix, man.
Great pull. That dude started getting hot for Virginia, so they win 71-56. Minor upsets earlier today. Iowa beats Cincinnati, a 10 over a 7, as Mike Conti told you about. UC Irvine takes out Bruce Weber in Kansas State, 76. 64. A lot of people, though, did have UC Irvine. No one respected those Wildcats.
I had them. Yeah, I always thought they were a little overrated coming into this thing. And that's why it didn't seem like when UC Irvine won the game, like it was a big surprise to them. It really wasn't.
The Ole Miss reps, geez, they got run out of the gym. Oklahoma drops 50 on them in the first half. They were never in that game, and adios, it's a one and done for them. As you said, Randy, Tennessee gives Colgate the brush off, 70-77. And so now Tennessee, a lot of people said, all right, Rick Barnes, and they were struggling too. They blew a big lead and had to get it back.
It's bad whenever something like that happens, Mike. You're always associated with choking. Rick Barnes, we saw that. It's like, okay, Bennett and Virginia, we see all these different things. But these guys were able to find a way to win these games. But, I mean, it makes you – it worries you a little bit, though. It really does, because you're starting to see what your reputation for is kind of showing up early in this tourney.
And part of the reason why I think, you know, Tom Izzo was yelling at his player yesterday is because – they better get it in order, man, because they were looking at another 15-2 upset. And we talked a lot about it. We spent two segments on it today about the Aaron Henry dust up, which for guys like Randy and most of our listeners is nothing to see here. But some weenie writers and a lot of weenies felt like it was the end of a civilization as we knew it, that a guy was yelling and pointing his finger at a guy for loafing.
2018, Mike. 2018.
Well, 2019 now.
No, that's what we call it. That's our phrase. 2018. Okay. I mean, it's always somebody complaining about something.
In the year 2000.
I never heard his parents come out of nothing, but everybody else got a problem with the way he treated that child. I mean, I'm sorry, that young man. Goodness gracious.
So that's one of the storylines. Oh, my God, a coach yelled at somebody. Good God,
yelled at a player. Oh, my God, what is going on?
Toughen up, America, you bunch of wussies. The other big story is Ja Morant has got everybody going bananas. Okay, Hawks fans, we have a guy named Trae Young, and we're really happy with him. I know that Ja is the flavor of the moment. But a triple-double, the first time that's happened in the tournament for a long time.
I just can't wait for we need to trade Trae Young to get Ja Morant. Because it's coming, Mike. No, it's coming.
Look.
It's coming.
This guy, it's a great story, and he's going to be exciting somewhere. But, again, we've got a point guard, although he did put on a show against Marquette.
It's coming.
Let's hear from
– oh, yeah, let's trade. Trade for him.
You stop it. Let's hear from Ja, man. Said he did it all for his team.
I just try to come out and give it all I could tonight and just try to do whatever I could to get my team a win, and I had to help bigs on the boards, and obviously I wouldn't be able to get the triple-doubles without my teammates making shots, so the credit for this game goes to them.
So for the guys who watch two basketball games a year, it's now Ja over Zion. Ja is edging Zion. If you're, like, for instance, my cousin down in Naples, big Knicks fan.
Okay.
This Ja guy's unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's where it's coming right now.
Jumps out of the freaking gym, man.
I mean, I think he's a very good player. He's a very patient when it comes to how he's run the offense.
Mm-hmm.
He can shoot, and he can fly. He got some ups, very explosive athlete, but you don't need him here in Atlanta. The Knicks, I mean, you get number one pick, you got to get Zion. As much as I like Ja, Ja's not going to be the attraction.
Him and Phoenix.
That Zion's
Phoenix
be.
Will be something.
Phoenix be good. Phoenix be all right.
All right, let's hear from Zion himself. As Zion says, hey, man, I always knew I was going to come back. I was never going to listen to those idiots who said sit.
I always knew I was going to come back because I just love playing a game of basketball. I love my teammates, and I made a commitment to them when I committed to Duke. And I feel like I would have been a bad person if I didn't come back. So coming back was not an issue. But one thing I did think about when I was out was the year has gone by fast. Like, just last year, I was a senior in high school. My high school season was over at this point. And, you know, you just think about life and how you just have to enjoy every moment.
Now, it's interesting little factoid. Ja Morant and Zion, they played on a traveling AAU team together, the South Carolina Hornets. Yeah. And obviously our man Deshaun, who's dialed in, knows all this stuff. But he gave me that little nugget. Ja was a sophomore because he's older by a year. But both these guys played together coming out of South Carolina.
He's just such a humble kid. I love to listen to him talk, and I'm glad that he clarified, I was never really going to sit out. He also said that he could have came back three games earlier, but they were waiting for the ACC tournament. And to watch him dominate the way he does, in order for any team to beat them, he has got to get in foul trouble for one.
Now, Coach K didn't have to play him tonight, does he?
I wouldn't play him.
Hey, Coach K.
Yeah, I wouldn't play him. No, I would play him. I'm going to take that back. I wouldn't play him a lot.
Hear from the man.
I just told him, look, if you don't want to play, if you're concerned, don't play. Don't ever feel like you have to play unless you want to play. And so it started from there. And then we were very, very cautious. He's a much different player than anybody. And so I wanted to make sure that he was ready before, you know, where he could be instinctively reactive, and because that's what he does. And once he was ready to go, he went. And I was shocked, really, with his endurance during the ACC tournament for him to play 35-plus minutes in three consecutive games was absolutely remorable. And but, no, it's always been
the longest
what's
soundbite
in
history.
Interest of the player. It's always and always should be.
Man, how long is that, Sam? You cut that up. What is it?
Yeah, it's like 50 seconds.
You didn't feel at some point maybe just chop it up a little bit?
Yeah, you know.
That's why I said it's still going?
I'm talking so long, my voice is getting weak. Hold on. And anyway, back to Zion. That's it. No, it's a good job. It's a long piece of audio. Right. Anyway, the tournament continues tonight. Georgia State in action against Houston. Big underdogs.
Come on, Georgia State.
We talked to Coach Ron Hunter, and he says basically his players are all about doing business right now.
We make shots. We make shots in practice. We usually make them in games. But again, it's just their approach. I thought our seniors, man, were locked in. I wasn't going to practice yesterday. I was just going to have a walkthrough. And they said, no, they wanted to get after it. And so I knew right then that the guys were ready to play. You know, we're going to lose about 6 out of 7 of these guys. So they want to go away with the win.
I hear you, brother.
Most
now,
important.
Georgia State, it's not the biggest number, by the way. They are a 12.5-point dog right now. And it's an over-under of 141 points, so in the 70s or the upper 60s, they're saying.
You never did help me out, my friend out, though. You know, Duke minus 26.
Oh, Duke. Yeah. Well, again, it's just a matter of we're going to – well, it doesn't really matter. With Zion, they're playing a team that played in the play-in game, as Duke is the number one overall. So what's the number here?
I thought it's 26.
Yeah. You want to take a piece of that action?
Not for me.
You want me? Am I betting your guy? You're asking me if I was your buddy, should I do it?
Yeah, yeah. Would you do it?
26? Yeah, I jump okay. on that. I jump right. on that. I think Duke will beat him, right?
Excuse me, let me make a call.
I mean, this is like Duke versus Mercer, okay? This is number one with Zion and Kamish and R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish and R.J. Barrett. They're good to go.
This has got backdoor cover written all over it. Zion right. sitting early. Wait till next round, okay? Wait till Sunday to bet
you know,
on
you just talked me out of it. Yeah, don't even touch it. Don't bet touch it. Don't touch it.
It. Okay. All right.
Well, advice from Uncle Mike and Uncle Sam, who's a bigger degenerate gambler than I am.
Yeah, he is. He has some real issues. I worry about Brian.
Right. Don't worry about him having, you know.
Brian's going to come in with some broken fingers.
worried about him getting out of the radio business, getting in the bookmaking business.
I was saying, he's not going to be pushing any buttons.
It's pretty lucrative. A guy just got arrested here in Atlanta, had a big book. It's an opening for business. That's what I heard. Anyway, right. guys, we'll come back.
Is your name in somebody's book, Mike?
No. Mike Conti. Speaking of a man who would never, ever partake in that kind of malfeasance, Mike Conti is going to join us next, guys, with In Case You Missed It. The hardest working man in show biz. We mentioned earlier, Mike and Jason Longshore, guys, talking soccer. Get your United fix at Carriage Kia in Woodstock. Coming up noon. I know Lorenowitz will be up there and Michael Parker's with you guys.
That is correct. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. So no excuse to not come up and join us. I've been trying to keep an eye on the Venezuela-Argentina friendly, which is being played at Atletico Madrid right now.
Right.
It's being shown on a cable channel that's not available in this country anymore, I'm afraid.
Oh, BN is out? Is that the old one?
Right? Yeah.
Yes. BN Sports?
Yes.
The one? Yeah.
Yes, that is the one. Joseph has scored.
Sweet.
Joseph was subbed on in the 72nd minute, immediately got a penalty and scored.
Ready to go, spot. Joseph.
Good for Joseph. Pitti Martinez started for Argentina opposite Messi. That's cool.
Right.
Played 45 minutes. Came out at halftime. That's not unusual in an international friendly. You get unlimited subs. So Argentina still has another fixture. They have to go to Morocco now. Joseph, I'm not sure if he can come home or if Venezuela is going to stay in camp for another couple days, but they're done with fixtures.
Okay.
Tito Villalba plays tonight.
Paraguay?
Paraguay's playing. I forget who. I want to say Egypt, but that might not be right. But they're playing tonight, and it's at Red Bull Arena in New Jersey. So at least Tito doesn't have
to go across
international travel or anything like that. But Joseph, looks like Venezuela's going to do it, and that'll be a big win for them. But he scored.
Good for him.
That is good. Okay.
Paraguay versus Peru.
Peru in New York.
What are the odds?
Two teams from the same continent playing in New York. Okay, whatever. Hey, have fun. last night, Los Angeles Kings playing the San Jose Sharks at Staples Center. And I love the movie Anchorman. Loved it. Anchorman 2. Okay. Wasn't that bad. Apparently, they're making another Ron Burgundy movie.
Huh?
Apparently. So, Will Ferrell, last night, came out to, I guess, promote said movie.
Right.
And also sit in with the L.A. Kings broadcasters to do a little bit of hockey play-by-play. And this is how it sounded.
San Jose Sharks have never won a Stanley Cup.
Could you say that one more time?
Oh, shot on goal, Walker. You and I shared a couple of Molsons.
I only had one.
You only had one. Yep. And I had 15. I once saw Jeff Carter with his shirt off in the locker room.
You did? What was your reaction?
He's got the goods. Oh, shot on goal. Pad save. And cleared by the Kings. Take that, San Jose. Zero Stanley Cups. Zero Stanley Cups for the San Jose Sharks. Shot on goal! He scores! Put that baby to bed without a diaper. Keep going, guys. Two. They killed the penalty. Yes. Burritos for everyone. I've done a lot of things in my life. A lot of things in the career. And this is truly in the top, I think, 1,000 things I've ever done in my life.
Will Ferrell is Ron Burgundy sitting in during last night's broadcast of the L.A. Kings and the San Jose Sharks. I've heard worse.
It wasn't as good as Snoop Dogg's.
I don't think I saw that.
That was actually pretty funny.
When Snoop Dogg was up there with him?
It might have been when you were on. You were down in South America. We played it. Or Central America, I should say. We had this. Oh, yeah, it was pretty good.
They called a hockey game?
Snoop Dogg?
Yeah. He did a cameo.
He did a little cameo.
I tell people, if you can call a hockey game, you can call anything.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
I agree.
We all love Will Ferrell. I mean, we love. Yes. I love the Talladega Nights. We use the lines all the time.
Of course. Yes.
But is this really a good thing to have another Ron Burgundy movie?
Well,
the second one was garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You're kind of falling
into that kind of one trick pony thing, aren't you? There.
I like. Maybe he's gonna do something other than weather.
Randy, the Sherlock Holmes movie was god awful too.
I told everybody it was gonna be bad. They were like, right. "No, not with those two."
And I love him and John C. Reilly, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know, brother.
The one thing you could say about it is the Ron Burgundy movies, really all Will Ferrell movies, they're very consistent. They're very consistent. You can pretty much bank on...
I'm in his underwear.
You can bank on John C. Reilly making an appearance.
Right.
Right.
You can bank on a lot of,
Gibberish, waving his arms, the way Will Ferrell acts.
Yes. And look, I love the Anchorman series. According to what I'm reading here, I guess the third Anchorman movie, I don't know if they filmed it yet or not, but the premise is going to be that Will Ferrell, as Ron Burgundy, goes to one of the Iraq wars. So they're basically dropping Ron Burgundy into a war zone. So, sure, hilarious.
Me and Randy are both kind of, if you're watching this at Watch 92.9, we're kind of rolling our eyes. Here, Mike, you missed it. This is Snoop Dogg doing a cameo, a little hockey.
Okay.
Hands up. Oh, watch out. Oh, he stole on him. He fired on cuz. Hold on now. Oh, get it cracking then. Let's go. Snoop Dogg in the house. Let me see some.
Oh. Is there a fight? Taking place, fired on him, cuz. That's actually, I've heard worse. I have heard worse.
He fired on him, cuz.
Fired on him.
All right. Remember yesterday we talked about this incident involving the figure skaters and how the South Korean figure skater.
She tried to assassinate her with a skate by cutting her Achilles tendon.
Yeah. Accusing a Mariah Bell, an American figure skater, of kind of charging into her, skate exposed, and slashing her. And I do want to reiterate, figure skates are very, very, very sharp.
Okay.
Very sharp, because you don't expect contact injuries to occur in figure skating. Well, the International Skating Union investigated the allegations of Lim Eun-soo, the 16-year-old South Korean, says there is no evidence that Mariah Bell intentionally attacked her. Quoting their statement, the incident was verbally reported to the ISU by the Korean team leader. However, no formal complaint has been received. Based on the evidence at hand at this point of time, which includes a video, there is no evidence Miss Bell intended any harm to Miss Lim.
And there it is. So stop it.
What a treacherous attack.
Just stop it.
Hey, by the way, did you see the meme? Actually, it's a video that somebody put out, and Dave O'Brien got it. I retweeted it, Mike. Someone took all of the Los Angeles Lakers lowlights and put it to one shining moment.
Oh, no, that is not uncommon. The New York Knicks, there was a Knicks fan that did that for many, many years. And they are hilarious. I still go back and
they're
watch
funny,
them because
man.
They're really, really
this
funny.
This one is absolute gold for the Lakers.
The
yes.
one year when the Knicks had Lou Adamson. Do you know who that is?
I have no clue, Mike.
Really, really tall, thick, white guy with a ponytail who was not very good at basketball. Look up that version of the New York Knicks one shining moment.
Hey,
it
man.
Was very, very funny.
Mike Conte again, guys, at Carriage Kia. Go see him and Jason up at Woodstock along with your favorite Atlanta United players, Jeff Loretta. It's Michael Parker's. It's Mike's, in case you missed it, brought to you by Rooms to Go.
That's right.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Good weekend, guys.
You too, buddy.
Hey, we come back. We got a spy report, and we looked it up. We verified it. Apparently, Calvin Ridley had himself an incident with his car over the last couple days. Randy?
Again?
Well, no one stole this one. It was on fire. We'll explain that. We've also got the biggest three stories of the day. And then David O'Brien will explain to Randy and I what this pitching rotation for the Braves is going to look like.
Again?
Mm-hmm.
Hands up. Oh, watch out. Oh, he's stalling on him. He's final cut. Hold on now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.